imbibe the Old Testament reading and the Gospel reading, as we will not hear them read this morning. Those of you who came in after my announcement at the beginning, we are intentionally being as pared back as we can with the service this morning so that we might not all suffer from the heat. And so there will be elements of it removed, and just follow me as we go. But I encourage you to read both the Gospel and the Old Testament reading when you go home, and the references are in your book so you can find them when you get there. What I'd like to look at this morning is, briefly, is Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, which in the Pew Bible is on page 1336. I'm going to start in the first verse here. You just heard Ray read this. What Paul is doing in this letter to the Ephesians is he's writing to a church in Ephesus that really desires to be the body of Christ. It really desires to be the family of God. And it really desires to understand how to live this out in practical, everyday terms. Not in theoretical terms, not just in high, lofty, theological terms, but what do we do day by day in our lives with each other to be Christians in the world? What does it mean? And so Paul's letter to the Ephesians is about that. He's saying, here's the practical advice about how you live your life as the body of Christ and how you live in the world. This whole book of Ephesians, by the way, is quite wonderful. And I encourage you at some other time to just sit in an easy chair somewhere and go through this, the whole book of Ephesians. It's not long. Slowly, sentence by sentence, I promise it will feed you enormously. So here Paul is talking about how we lead lives worthy to which we have been called. And that is, practically, how do we lead our lives day by day because we have been called by Christ? And here's how he begins to explain it. He says, first of all, make every effort, the Greek says, make haste to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In other words, do everything you can to get along with each other. Maintain the unity of the Spirit with each other. And then he says, there is one body, that means the body of Christ, us, the believers. There is one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, Jesus Christ, one faith, that is the acceptance of Him, one baptism, that's the signification of your entrance into the community of believers, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. And then he says in verse 7, but each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Each of us means every single person, every last person in the body of Christ is given a gift for the body. Every single person, without exception, is given a gift by the Holy Spirit. And it is only when those gifts all work together in all of those believers together that we become the body of Christ. If you look at Jesus Christ and you look at His life and the way He healed and the way He taught, the way He lived sinlessly, you look at that life and you think, if you're anything like me, no way could I ever do this. No way could I do all of the things that He had done, that He's done. No way could I do this. That's right. No way will you ever. But we as a group are called the body of Christ. And it is we as a group who represent Him and who live out His life in the world today. Said differently, we are His hands and His feet. And so the many gifts that He had are each in us. No one of us has all of them. No one of us has none of them. And so this sentence says, but each of us was given grace, that is a gift, according to the measure of Christ's gift. So we have the gift of Christ represented in us individually as we each have gifts. Then he goes on to say, therefore, let me skip down now to verse 11. The gifts he gave, underline, he gave. It's referring to Jesus Christ. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Let's just listen to that sentence really slowly, because this is what the Christian church and the Christian life is to be about. He gave that some would be apostles. Now, this list, by the way, is not intended to be exhaustive. There are many gifts given that are not named here. But he was given that some would be apostles. This means great leaders of the church in many dimensions. Some prophets. These are truth tellers. A prophet of God is someone who speaks God's truth clearly to us, even if we don't necessarily want to hear it. A prophet is not, in the Bible, typically someone who foretells the future, although they may be if a nation or a people are being condemned because of their sinful ways. The prophet may say, if you do not turn back to God, then this is what will happen. And in that sense, he's foretelling the future depending upon the decision the people made. But typically, a prophet doesn't foretell the future. He tells the truth. He tells God's truth so that people can hear it, and they often don't want to hear it, and so they continue to do what they've been doing that God said not to do, and then the consequences that the prophet foretold come about. That's a prophet. Some evangelists. An evangelist is someone who tells the good news. That's what the word means in Greek. It means a bearer of glad tidings. It's like your mail lady who brings you the church from, or the check from an aunt that you didn't even know lived, and it's $1 million, right? Then your mail lady is the evangelist because she bears good tidings. Okay, that's what the word means in Greek, is a bearer of glad tidings. Or we just heard that your brother that you thought was dead is alive. That's good news. The bearer of glad tidings is an evangelist. You thought you were dead. You thought this life was all there was. Guess what? There's a God. He cares about you. He even sent his son to pay the price for your sin so that you can live eternally in heaven. All you have to do is accept the gift. That's good news. That's what an evangelist does. Okay. Some to be pastors and teachers. And actually in the Greek, the implication is that a pastor is a teacher, that this is a single role, pastor and teacher. A pastor is a shepherd of a flock. That's what it means in Greek, a shepherd. And a teacher, one who opens up God's word so that we all can learn and grow. Now, what's the purpose of these specific, let's call them roles of leadership or roles of servanthood that are named here? The purpose of these is for building, is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Now, who are the saints? Scripture says, you guys, every one of you are the saints. The saints are not the people in stained glass. They are saints. But Scripture clearly refers to all believers as saints. In fact, Scripture does not refer to specially gifted, high and mighty, successful or martyrs as saints. Never does that in Scripture. Scripture refers to the believers, every one of them, as the saints. And it refers to the whole body of believers as the priesthood. Not me. It's a different word in Greek. The priests are the believers, the priesthood of all believers. So it says that these appointed to these roles are to equip the saints, to train the saints for the work of ministry. And so what this says is that really the ministry of a church, resurrection, St. Luke's, St. Mary's, the work of a church, of the body of Christ, is ministry done by the members. That's the purpose. The only purpose of a person in an ordained role like me is to help equip the members of the body, because they're the ones that do the ministry. So the purpose here is to equip the saints, that's all of us, for the work of ministry. Until all of us come to that unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. And so I believe that we, like every church of Jesus Christ, we are called upon to do ministry in the world, to share the good news, to introduce people to Jesus Christ and to God who believe there is no hope, to begin what is very often the long path, the long road back from being desperately lost to being before the throne of God. You know, this Christian life is not easy. Anybody who ever tells you you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, everything becomes wonderful the next day, hasn't lived yet as a Christian. It's not true. What happens is that when we become Christians, we become servants. And you know how servants are treated. By their masters and by the world, they're the lowliest of the low, despised, considered fools, unworthy of polite conversation even. That's what happens when a Christian accepts Jesus as Lord and Savior, is you join him in servanthood. And we grow into his image. Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you have to pick up your cross. He doesn't say, if you want to follow me, you get a BMW. He says, you want to follow me, you pick up your cross. And work then to share the good news that you can spend eternity with your Heavenly Father. And so the job of all of us is to contribute as the body of Christ to ministry in the world and to build each other up and be trained. And as we look at the months ahead of us in this church, I would ask that every one of us ask ourselves, how can I be trained? How can I be trained that I might be a better servant of Jesus Christ, that my gifts might blossom and be used? And as we move ahead, I would ask that those in this congregation whose gifts are in any particular area consider using those gifts in training for the rest of us. There are many things that I am not good at as a Christian. I don't understand as a Christian. I don't understand how to do as a Christian, where others of you are very gifted. And I would ask that as this church begins to unfold its training for Christians, which we will be doing in the next few months, that if you have a gift and you know it's a gift from God, don't worry about pride. This isn't about pride. If you know you have a gift from God in teaching, in healing, in prayer, in evangelism, in any of those areas, talk to me, that you might be involved in the training of the rest of us so that we can grow as individuals into the full stature and unity and maturity of Jesus Christ. I ask you to take that into prayer. And in the week ahead, to take every opportunity to use the gifts which Jesus has given you to be his ministers in the world and to call those who do not know him yet into a knowledge of him. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.